Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Well, how did you enjoy that baptism? That was nice, huh? To be able to watch it, that worked out well. I tell you, though, I was a little bit rattled when I felt the glugging on my leg of the water going out. Right when Addison was about to share his testimony, I thought, oh no, it's going to be the first dry baptism in history here. I don't know how we're going to do this. So I'm trying to get the thing on with my toe, you know. And of course, this foot doesn't work well. And it flipped upside down, the plug. But the plug slid over the hole, you know, it just sealed enough to where that hole were good. And then as Addison is leaving, I look down and I see, no, it's, the hole's wide open and water's going out. That's that noise I hear out of the drain there. So we had to, I was glad it wasn't any fuller than it was, or I'd have got baptized myself. But, it's a great day to be in God's house, isn't it? Oh man, what a blessing. And then to partake of the Lord's table, the two ordinances that God says we are to observe. And we've had the privilege of doing both of them this morning. We're going to continue this morning with a message I've entitled Wisdom, Walking in Wisdom, rather. It comes from Ephesians chapter 5. We're continuing the series of messages that we've been doing through the book of Ephesians. And while we've kind of slowed down a bit here in Ephesians chapter 5, it has been a passage in which Jesus Christ makes clear to us that we are condemned by our sins, and yet He cares so much for us that He has provided through His death and burial and resurrection on the cross for life for us, that we can be saved again. And because of that, then this is how we ought to live our life. We have to live our life under the control of the Holy Spirit. In the past few weeks, we've looked at the things that we are first of all to do, to be an imitator of God. We've looked at the things we're not to do, to follow after the counterfeits that Satan would put out there. We've looked at what we ought not to do with our tongue, and what we ought to do with our tongue, and that is to give thanks to God. Today we come to a passage that tells us that we should walk in wisdom, conduct our life wisely. And so we're going to look at that, and I trust that we'll have time to get all the way through it. Our time is a bit short because we've had so much this morning, but we'll try and get through everything I had planned for this morning. I know there's some of you that have always say to me afterwards, they say, Pastor, don't worry about going long. It's okay. And I appreciate that. Thank you for saying that. But I want to be respectful of those people that are taking care of our children downstairs. You know, they plan on a certain amount of time, and to try and hold those children for an extra 10 minutes is a lot to ask. And so we want to be respectful to them, and we will be. Also, I encourage you to be thankful to them and express your gratitude to them for what they do. They do a tremendous ministry with our children, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And that's so important. So when you get a chance, grab one of them and tell them thank you, that we do appreciate the work that they do with our young people. Let's pray as we begin here this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the direction that gives us in our lives. And today as we look at what it means to walk in wisdom, to just get a glimpse of the things you would have us to do, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to the truth that is there, that, Lord, we can leave this place with something that we can apply to our lives today, that our walk with you might be closer, that our testimony for you might be stronger and bolder. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for all that you do today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Ephesians with me, please. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 15, and we will not get any further than that in this passage. We'll pick it up there in future weeks. But I want to look at verse 15 in particular today. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." In other words, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Live your life in a wise way. There are three phrases here that I want to try and look at this morning. The first one is, see then. See then. The second one is to walk circumspectly, or some of your translations may read carefully. I prefer circumspectly. I think it encompasses far more than being careful. And the third one is not as fools. Not as fools. We're going to try and look at those three phrases this morning, and Lord willing, we'll get through it all. To start with, I want to consider what he says when he says, "See then." Just two little words, but in this is a very important message. Paul is saying that it is our responsibility to decide to follow Jesus Christ. See then, it's an act of our will. We have the option to do it or not to do it. Jesus is not going to force us to do these things. This is our choice. We can do what God calls us to do, or we can choose to do our own thing. See then, stresses the point to us that this is an act of will. When I read this, my mind went back to the Apostle Peter and James and John. You remember back in the Gospels where they first encountered Jesus Christ, and they're out. They had been out fishing all day long, and now they've come in and they're mending their nets during the day, drying them out, getting them ready for the next evening's fishing. And Jesus says to them, "Take your boat, go back out, and take and cast your nets on the other side of the boat into the deep water." Now, Peter says, "Now wait a minute, Lord, that doesn't make any sense. You fish with nets at night, not during the day. And you don't fish in the deep water, you fish in the shallow water. So Lord, we've already been out there. We've already fished all night. It would be foolish to go out and cast our nets into the deep water." And Peter could have stood on that and said, "No, I'm just not going to go. That would be foolish." This is very much like what happens in our lives when God's word says, "I want you to do this." And we look and say, "But why? That doesn't make any sense to do that. It goes against human logic and reasoning. Why would we do that? It would be a mistake." And yet God says, "No, I want you to do this. I want you to do this." Young people, God, you're at a point in your life where you have major decisions to make, and God has a whole life ahead of you of things that He wants to see you accomplish in your life. And He's calling you. The question is, as a young person, will you do what Jesus calls you to do? Or will you look at that and say, "You know what? That doesn't make much sense. I can't be happy if I do that. I can't be fulfilled if I do that. What the world is offering is better." Let me encourage you, don't listen to the world. And I speak from experience. When I was a young man, God impressed upon my heart that He wanted me in the ministry. And as I grew into my teen years, I decided that I wanted to chase what the world had to offer instead. Kids, it's a mistake. Don't do that. Listen to what God has to tell you. Follow after Him. Peter did that. He went out and he threw the nets out into the deep water, and he began to haul in his net, and their fish were so heavy, it began to break the nets, and he called, "John, get out here! I need your help." And John goes out with his boat, and they put the fish in both boats, and there's so many fish that it's sinking both boats. You see, this is what God has for you if you'll do what He calls you to. See then that you do what He calls you to. It's an act of your will. Will you do what God has called you to do, even though it doesn't make sense to you? Because if you will, God will bless you. Your cup will overflow. Your boats will be so full of fish, they'll sink. That's what God has for you. You know, in our life, Randy and I came to the place where we had decided that life was going in this direction. And God said, Gene, I want you to go to Canada. Why would I do that? What a foolish thing to do. Why would I? You see my point? What is He saying to you? I want you to do. You say, well, it doesn't make any sense. I want to tell you, when you do what God calls you to do, your cup overflows. You're blessed beyond measure. See then that you turn your will over to the Lord. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. This is a term that we don't use in our day-to-day conversation very much. I mean, when was the last time somebody used that term in conversation with you? Walk circumspectly, or even use circumspectly in any context. And yet, I like this word because it has a much broader meaning than simply to say careful. As I was trying to understand this word years ago, the gentleman that explained it to me in terms of hunting and being a hunter. I understood that. Now, many of you, probably not very many of you, hunt. But hopefully you can pick up from my illustration this morning. Because when my son was 12 years old, I decided I was going to take him out hunting. I was going to teach him to hunt. I wanted to teach him to walk circumspectly. So we went out. Drove up into the mountains. We got out of the car and out of the truck and began to walk up this trail into the mountains. It's a rather steep grade, probably a 6 or 8% grade. We're climbing pretty heavily, working hard, and it begins to snow. And all of a sudden, on the trail in front of us, there are tracks in the snow, and there's no snow in the tracks. So you can kind of figure that out. If it's snowing now and there's no tracks there, they've been made very recently, right? This is exciting to a hunter. Those of you that aren't hunters can't appreciate what this means. But this is excitement to a hunter. I have found tracks with no snow in them, and it's snowing, right? And my son, 12 years old, he knows that much. And so he's excited. He says, Dad, can I go in the lead? Can I go in the lead? He wants to see the elk himself, right? I said, that's fine, son. You can go in the front. But, you know, walk circumspectly. I didn't use that term, but that's what I meant to him. So here he goes. Down the trail. And I'm going, no, don't do that. And I tap him on the shoulder and get him to stop. And I say, son, listen, number of things you're doing wrong here. One, you're just tromping straight ahead and the noise you're making, everybody can hear it. You need to walk softly, quietly. You know, as Christians, we oftentimes do the same thing. We just trudge on down through our day without paying any attention to what we're doing and who we might be disturbing or even running over. We need to walk carefully. I said to him, I said, son, you need to step carefully and quietly. And don't just walk down the trail, plump, 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 plump. I said, that's the way a hunter walks. And elk, they know that. So walk like an elk. How does an elk walk? He takes 1, 2, 3 steps, he stops and he eats a little bit. And then he takes 1, 2, 3 steps and he stops and he eats a little bit. So walk like that. They won't think anything of that. Okay. The third thing. Get your eyes up off of the trail. You can't find anything in the tracks. We don't want to find just tracks. We want to find elk making tracks. So you have to lift your eyes up and not look at the ground. Look out at the horizon. As Christians, we allow our eyes to get focused on all kinds of things other than what Jesus says to keep our eyes on Him. On Him. Again, I'm reminded of Peter. When Jesus came walking on the water and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, call me out to you. And Peter gets out on the water and he begins to walk out there and he's looking at Jesus and he's walking on water. Can you imagine that? He's walking on water. What an experience. I often wonder what's that like. Was he sliding off of the high waves down into the troughs? Or, you know, what was he doing? You know, as he come down there, woo! And he began to look at something other than Jesus. He looked at the troubles around him. And as Christians, we fail to walk circumspectly because we get focused on the troubles and trials and we take our eyes off of Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. We're walking along there and it's snowing. And I noticed that His scope is filled with snow. Well, that's going to be a problem because when you go to look through the scope, all you're going to see is white. You won't be able to see what you're aiming for. You have to be careful to keep that clear. You have to handle your weapon properly. Don't let it bang against the brush and don't stick the barrel into the snow and all of these things you have to be careful of. And as Christians, we have to do the same thing. Our weapon is the Word of God. We must handle it properly. We must be careful with it. Paul says to another young man, Timothy, he says, study diligently to ensure that you rightly divide the Word of God. In other words, that you handle it properly. Folks, we need to study God's Word so that we properly understand it and handle it properly. So along we go, walking circumspectly, being careful about what we do. So we exercise care. Second thing, whoa, that thing took off on me. Somebody's wanting to get out of here. Who's doing that? Examine your attitude and your actions. Examine your attitude and your actions. You know, as we're going along there, as I told you, climbing a rather steep grade, we as hunters have to be very careful that we examine ourselves because if we are so excited that we want to catch up with our prey, that we're just trudging up the trail as fast as we can go, we soon lose track of the fact that our respiration level has increased. We're breathing heavily. Our heart is pounding and our muscles are becoming tired and somewhat weaker. And so now when we find our prey and we try to hold our weapon steady, we won't be able to do it because we're breathing and just that little bit of movement is going to mean failure for us. So we have to stop and say, If I had to shoot my weapon now, am I able to do so accurately? I need to examine my heart rate. I need to examine my respirations. I need to take a rest once in a while to make sure that I'm able to do what I want to do. And with our Christian walk, we need to examine our attitude. We can be doing all the right things, but doing it for the wrong reasons. The Pharisees were prime examples of that. They were making all kinds of noise when they gave their offering, making sure that when it hit the offering plate, it jangled and it made noise so that everybody would look at them and say, oh my goodness, you're so generous. Christ saw that. What did He say? He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And I know, I just did that backwards. There shouldn't be anything that anybody knows about. If that's what you do, Jesus says you have your reward. That's it. What's your attitude? What's your reason for doing things and your actions? We need to be very careful. Very, very careful. And then you need to employ the truths that you have learned. If you were to walk circumspectly, you need to take the things that you've learned from God's Word. You need to put them into practice. We can come to church, we can come to Sunday school, we can do all the Bible studies possible and learn all that we can about God and His Word. If we don't put it into practice, it has done very little for us. Done very little for the kingdom. As we walked along there, we're listening. Hunting circumspectly means you got to listen to hear everything you can. You have to use your sense of smell to smell everything you can, and your eyesight to see every little thing you can. And as we're walking along, we heard a branch snap. And we stopped, and we looked up, almost together. We looked up, my son and I, and there, stepping out on a little ridge, 20 yards from us, was a massive bull elk. Biggest guy I have ever seen hunting. Massive guy. Now it's time for us to put the things that we have learned about hunting into practice. You know, you just don't up and fire your weapon. There are things you have to do right. And we won't go into Weapons 101 with you this morning. But know this, there's a lot you have to do right to ensure that you harvest the game that you've come to harvest. Otherwise, you just shoot twigs off of branches or something. It does you no good if you don't put into practice what you've learned. And the same is true for us as Christians. We must put into practice what we have learned. We must. That's what it means to walk circumspectly. Put it this way. It means to use everything that is out there around you that God has given you, all the resources that He's given you, to bring you to this one focused goal, and that is to walk as He has called you to walk. To be a witness and a testimony to those around you. To be a witness. He says, not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time. Redeeming the time. What does he mean by that? Well, it simply means to purchase every opportunity that God gives you. Every opportunity that God presents you, don't let it go by. My prayer on a daily basis is, God, as you present opportunities, give me the boldness to seize them. Because how many times has God presented you with an opportunity, but you've been too timid or fearful to seize the opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ? We need to seize those opportunities because he says the times are evil. We need to do it. Seize every opportunity not only to be a witness, but seize every opportunity to learn. To learn. We must seize the opportunities to learn. We have a wonderful Sunday school here, and I'm so thankful for it. And our Sunday school is, well, the way I describe it is full and filling. Our classes are near full and they're filling. And our classes are also filling for you if you'll come and take them in. They're good for you. It's full and filling. Take opportunity to be here on Sunday nights. And a word about Sunday nights. Tonight, Mickey, our missionary to Papua New Guinea, will be here to share 15 minutes on his ministry there. And so I encourage you to come out for that as well. We'll be going back to the Holy Land with Ray Vanderland and looking at another faith lesson there. So I encourage you to come out for that. But here's an opportunity to learn. Those who have been coming on Sunday nights, they will tell you, we're learning. We're learning. And we're being challenged. This is an opportunity. Don't pass it up. What else do you have going on in your life is so important that you'd pass up that opportunity? I don't think there's anything that's that important, quite honestly. And you all think that I'm paid to say that, but no, I honestly mean that. I mean that. You know, when I wasn't in the pastorate, when I was working at the aluminum plant, every time the doors were open, I was there because I really believe it is that important for us. Seize those opportunities, and then seize every opportunity to share that which God has given you. Share those things. Be a testimony. Redeem the time. I want you to turn quickly. Oh no, I don't. I'm going to close with that because we're out of time. But I trust that you will redeem the time. Take advantage of the opportunities that God presents you. Whether it be at work, maybe in the grocery store. You know, I know there are opportunities for you, maybe even as you ride the bus. You know, I know there are some who go out to the bus, I think just simply to have the opportunity to witness. Not because they really need to go anywhere, but you know, people are sitting in those bus stops with nothing to do while they wait for the bus. What a tremendous opportunity. What a tremendous opportunity. Seize the opportunity that God gives you. See then that you follow after Him. God will bless you. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time that we've had in Your Word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that we each one would commit our lives to following after You. That, Lord, we would truly walk in wisdom, seizing the opportunities that You give us, walking circumspectly. To Your name's honor and glory, we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.